In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clinging gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his mercy, shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Lord. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Lord, I pray that as we look into your word this evening, I thank you so much for it. I thank you, Lord, that we can meet here and be in a place, Lord, where your word is preached faithfully. And I thank you for the pastor that stands in this pulpit and preaches your word faithfully, studies your word faithfully. And Lord, we ask that you would just continue to bless him. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to heal him and heal his body. Pray that you'd be with the young people out there while they're at the tournament. I pray that you would use them mightily. And Lord, I pray that tonight as your messenger, as your vessel, that you would use me, that you would put your word in my mouth. Amen. And allow your words to come forth. I pray, Lord, that you would just challenge us and that you would accomplish what you want tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Probably my favorite Bible character is becoming the man Asaph. Studying the life of Asaph is so wonderful, just seeing how real and how genuine this man really is. And studying the life of Asaph, Asaph was a worship leader. Asaph was the chief worship leader. And if you can imagine being in that position of authority, manning the choir, hearing the musical instruments, and so on and so forth, what an amazing task that you have every single week, every single time in the temple to praise the Lord through music, to lead the choir. And Asaph was in a great position put there by God himself. And as I said before, Asaph was so real. Asaph was so genuine with the struggles that he was going through. And I say this today, tonight, everyone goes through struggles. Everyone goes through trials. Everyone goes through tribulations. Everyone goes through difficulties. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor of a church. It doesn't matter if you're in leadership. It doesn't matter if you're a layman in the church. Everyone goes through trials. Everyone goes through situations. Everyone faces hard times. I mean, that's all across the board. That's a part of being human. But one thing that I want to point out tonight is simply where Asaph put his faith, where Asaph's focus was, where Asaph's mind was when he's going through these different infirmities. And if you simply take what I am going to explain to you tonight or going to show you tonight and you use it in your life, I guarantee you that when you go through those hard times, when you face those trials, you'll be able to keep pressing on. You'll be able to stay focused on what God is doing. You'll be able to stay focused on who God is, and you'll be able to be delivered. So we're going to go through this psalm, and we're going to learn these different aspects from the life of Asaph, and we're going to learn what he did and how he got through this infirmity that he was dealing with. We begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And what's amazing is Asaph is pulling his heart out unto the Lord. And the Bible repeats it. It says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. It was like that double emphasis. Like, I'm going through an infirmity. I'm going through this trial. God, would you please help me? God, would you please deliver me from this infirmity? Asaph's heart was troubled. And later on in that verse, he says, and he gave ear unto me. Isn't it good? Isn't it awesome when you cry out to God? I mean, when you pour out your soul to the Lord gives his ear unto you. Think about the mighty God that created everything in this world. He's there to listen to you when you face hard times, when you face trouble. Think about all that goes on in this world. And personally, He touches your heart personally. He's there listening, just like you're the only person in this world. Moving on to verse number 2. The Bible says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And what amazes me is that many people turn to different things when they face hard times. Many people turn to drugs. Many people turn to alcohol. Many people turn to bitterness. And many people turn away from the Lord. But what amazes me about this thing, this situation, this infirmity that Asaph is going through, is that he immediately turned to the Lord. And the thing that we should do, the main focus of us when we go through our infirmities, when we go through our trials, should not be to run away from the Lord, but to seek Him, to seek after Him. Because He's the only one that could help us. He's the only one that can deliver us. And Asaph realizes this. Asaph understands that God is his helper. And if you were to go back to Psalm 73, and you have Asaph dealing with this infirmity once more, and he's wondering why the wicked prosper. He's wondering why he's going through these bad things, why he has this infirmity while the wicked are advancing, while the wicked are benefiting every single day. But Asaph has a change of focus. Asaph is delivered by Almighty God. Amen. And later on, and a couple of chapters later, he has that same infirmity that he's dealing with again. That same infirmity sticks his head back up again. And he needs to be delivered again. And who does he seek? The one that delivered him before, Almighty God himself. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. And this infirmity, this thing that Asaph was going through, was so bad that he could not even sleep. Think about that. Think about how many times you face something, face a circumstance, a difficulty, and it was so bad, it troubled you so much that you could not even sleep. And this is what Asaph was going through. And he says, and it ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I don't know about you, when I go through hard times, when I go through trials, when I'm facing something, I want to be comforted just like that. You know, I don't want my heart to be broken. I don't want to sit there and cry. I don't want to sit there and experience this infirmity. I want to be delivered. But Asaph said his soul was not comforted. Verse number 3 says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And this is the part that amazed me. He says that he remembered God and his soul was troubled. And I thought about that. What does that mean? I remember God and my soul was troubled. And you think that would cure things, would it not? Thinking about God, remembering God. But honestly, sometimes just remembering that God exists, sometimes you have to go a little step further. Sometimes your heart is still troubled after you simply remember God. Remember that God exists. You have to go a little step further. He says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And all of us have been at that point in life where we complain to God, we pour our heart out to God, and we tell God everything, and it doesn't help. It doesn't deliver us. And then Asaph says this, he says, Selah. Think about that. Ponder upon it. Look at everything that I just said before and ponder on it. And so if we're to think about everything that he said before and we're to ponder on it, we're thinking about the infirmity that's going through him, crying out to God, and there was no deliverance. There was no help for him in doing those things, remembering the Lord. But Asaph has this great deliverance or this great change of mind in verses 4 and following. He says in verse number 4, he says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. And have you ever been at that point where you're just pouring out your heart out to God? I mean, you're telling God everything. There's no deliverance. And at the end of pouring your heart out to God, at the end of all of that, you can't even pray anymore. I mean, your spirit is just so overwhelmed. You're so weak. You're saying, God, I just give it to you. God, I give up. God, you're just going to have to take this from me. God, you're just going to have to do this. God, I can't even pray anymore. And aren't you thankful that the Spirit prays to God for us? The Spirit allows even the utterances that we can't even say. The Spirit understands exactly what we're going through every single time. And God understands where Asaph is. Verse number 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. And I ask myself the question, how can a man that is a worship leader, the chief worship leader, how can a man that is in charge of so much in leadership, how can he be at the place where he cannot even pray? How can he be at the place where his heart is so troubled? And that's what I said before. Hey, we're all human at the end of the day. We all face trials, tribulations at the end of the day. And every one of us, no matter where we are in life, we need God's help. We need God's deliverance. Verse number 5, he says, I considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Verse number 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And what Asaph is saying here is, God, I'm trying to remember your works. I'm trying to remember what you did in the past. God, I'm trying to sing songs and trying to encourage my heart. But God, it's just not working. God, it's just not helping me. I need you to show up. I need you to deliver me from this infirmity. And he goes on to say, I commune with my own heart, and my spirit make diligent search. Asaph, at this point, he's trying to encourage himself in the Lord. He's trying to pick his heart back up. And he says, and my spirit made diligent search. And if you really think about that, my spirit made diligent search. His soul, his spirit is simply searching after the one that can deliver him, the one that can help him, the one that has everything in control, that has all this situation that he's going through, all this infirmity in the palm of his hands. And Asaph has another shift in his thinking, another shift in what he's going through. And he asks 6 questions. Question number 1, he says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will the Lord forget about me forever? Will the Lord send me away forever? Question number 2, will he be favorable no more? God, have you released your hand off of me? God, have you taken your favor away from me? Question number 3, is his mercy clean gone forever? God, has your mercy given up on me? God, have you forgotten about me? God, is there an end to your mercy? Question number 4, does his promise fail forevermore? God, you promised all these things. God, I've seen how you promised these things in the past. But God, what about the promises that you've given me? What about the promises that you gave to the children of Israel? God, have you forgot about the promises that you made? Question number 5, hath God forgotten to be gracious? God, have you forgot about me and what I'm going through, this infirmity that I'm going through? Question number 6, hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? God, are you so mad at me that your mercy has ended? God, am I in judgment right now? Is this infirmity because I have done something wrong? So Asaph asked these 6 questions. And his heart is just, God, what are you doing? God, where are you? But aren't you thankful every single time that we go through different situations, or every single time that we face these different circumstances, different trials, God always shows up when we cry out to him. And in these verses later on, verse 11 through the end of the chapter, we see God show up in Asaph's life. And at the end of verse 9, we see the same word, Selah. Or simply go back and ponder on what I just said. And if we're all honest with ourselves, and we're to put ourselves in Asaph's situation, we put ourselves in Asaph's shoes, we all have asked God those same 6 questions. God, what are you doing? God, has your mercy ended? God, do you still remember me? God, where are you? God, has your mercies ended? Are you angry at me? Did I do something wrong? Are you allowing this infirmity to come into my life because of what I did wrong? But verse number 10, Asaph has a total change in focus, a total change in mindset. And Asaph goes from simply complaining, simply discouraged, to a new person. He's totally changed. Verse number 10, he says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Lord, of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. You know, a lot of people, they face different circumstances, they face different trials. And a lot of those individuals allow themselves to become bitter, allow themselves to become angry at the Lord. But Asaph made a personal decision. Asaph is simply saying, God, I'm not going to get angry at you, but I'm going to make the personal decision to praise you. What am I going to praise you for? He says, I'm going to remember the works of the Lord. I remember thy wonders of old. He says, I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. Asaph says, God, you're so good to me. You've been so good to me that I can't be mad at you. You've been so good to me that I can't get angry at you. God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to release my hands off this infirmity, and I'm simply going to praise you for your wonderful works. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old, and I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And so this is the part that really amazes me about this whole thing. Number one, he says, I will remember. Number two, he says, I will remember. Number three, he says, I will meditate. And isn't it amazing that when we face these different trials, the scripture, God begins to bring scriptures to our mind to comfort our souls, to help us do these different things. And then he goes a step further. And he says, I will talk of thy doings. God, I'm going to tell people about what you've done. God, I know I'm facing this infirmity, but I'm not going to put it on me. I'm not going to have the focus on me. God, the focus has to be you. Do the whole thing. Moving on down to verse number 13. He says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So Asaph points out two ways unto us. Two ways of access. And what is a way? A way is a direction. A way is a roadmap that leads to God. Verse number 13, he says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And that word sanctuary simply means a set apart place or a holy place. And if you were to go back to the Old Testament, that's where God met with man in the temple, the Holy of Holies. And Asaph says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And can you imagine, and if you go back to Psalm 73, how Asaph had that infirmity, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went to that holy place of God. And can you imagine in your life, when you face that infirmity, when you face those trials, when you face those difficulties, what is the difference maker? That one-on-one encounter with God every single time. And if we were to contrast that today, in today's vernacular, it was simply the sanctuary would be the church. And have you ever felt overwhelmed? Have you ever felt like, man, the weight of the world is on your shoulders? You come to church, the pastor preaches a message that you just needed. I mean, it seemed like God just singled you out. It seemed like God specifically planned that service, planned that message just for you. And after you heard that message, your heart was lifted. And you went out leaping out of the church after coming in so sad, so burdened, so weighed down. And then you have that one-on-one encounter, and God speaks to your heart, and everything's different. And so you go a step further. You go to your alone time with God, and man, you're pouring your heart out to the Lord. You're crying out to Him, and God shows up in that prayer meeting. And your life is totally changed. I mean, you totally forget about that infirmity. And I think about maybe in the situation, Asaph is in a dark room, and, you know, he's pouring his heart out to the Lord. He's crying out to God. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and the light turns on. And his focus is simply on, God, you're amazing. God, you're so wonderful. God, this infirmity has nothing compared to you. It's nothing. It's nothing in your hands. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our Lord? Then verse number 14 says, thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And so my question was simply for Asaph. Asaph, where did you learn these things? Asaph, where did you learn about Joseph? Where did you learn about Jacob? Where did you learn about God's wonders, God's strength? And it all goes back to that sanctuary. It all goes back to that one-on-one encounter with God. It all comes back to this book. And basically in the temple, they read the Word of God. They studied the Word of God. And that's where Asaph learned all these things. And I say for you today, that's where you learn about God. That's where God reveals himself in this book. And so we have two ways that God reveals himself. Number one, we call special revelation. And that's God revealing himself through this book, this word. And so the first way that Asaph explains is, oh God, thy way, oh God, is in the sanctuary or in the church or in this book or in that holy place where you meet one-on-one with God. But the second way that Asaph says is, thy way is in the sea. And I'm not going to lie to you, this really perplexed me. I mean, I was at a loss as far as what this meant. And I was praying like, God, just show me what this means. I understand the sanctuary. I understand how our life is changed in the holy place, in the holy of holies. But what does the sea have to do with anything? But it goes back to the second way that God reveals himself to man, and that's through nature. If you pick it up in verse number 16, the Bible says, the waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee and were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Then verse number 19 says, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. God, your way is so amazing. God, your power is so amazing. It's not even fathomable. Though I don't understand, God, what you're doing, though I don't understand your plan, God, I still trust you. God, I still see your power. And if we were to look at how powerful a sea is, how mighty a sea is, how great it roars, think about how many cities' waters have destroyed through a tsunami. And think about the God that allows that to happen has control of the waters. Asaph says, verse number 19, thy path is in the great waters. So like I said before, the second way that God reveals himself is through general revelation or through nature. And the God that has the nature, the great mighty sea in his hands, is the God that shows up for Asaph. The same God that wrote this book, that revealed himself, shows up to Asaph, that shows up to us when we face different trials, when we face different infirmities, to deliver us. So the illustration that Asaph uses here is the children of Egypt and Pharaoh. And can you imagine every single day? Can you imagine in the hot sun? Can you imagine being beaten? Can you imagine being in that desolate place where all the idols, you can't freely worship the Lord? And then God says one day, you're free. You're free. Can you imagine how happy you would be? Can you imagine how joyful you would be to no longer be under that taskmaster? Can you imagine how excited you'd be? Hey, finally, God has delivered us. Can you imagine seeing the plagues that God sent to the Egyptians? Can you imagine seeing the firstborn slain and then your life saved? Can you imagine seeing the power of God? But oftentimes, just on the horizon of a great victory, there's a great challenge or there's a great difficulty that always comes. And so you ask the question, what was the great difficulty? What was the great trial that the children of Israel went through? And it was at the Red Sea. You see, when they were allowed to go, they were free. They came to a body of water. And they looked to the right, a mountain. Looked to the left, a mountain. Looked behind them. Pharaoh and his army were pursuing after them. And they were sore afraid. And I would be too. I would be afraid too. But what happened? God showed up. God parted the Red Sea. And God showed his great might. God showed his great power in doing that. And so chapter 78 through 80, Asaph goes through the children of Israel and how God delivered them and how God was so good to them in the wilderness. But what did Asaph say? He said they complained all the more. God fed them manna every morning. God gave them exactly what they needed. But what did they do? They complained all the more. And I believe that Asaph has explained and shows us that illustration tonight to reveal unto us God is so good unto us. Every single day, we have no room to complain. about anything. Even if we're going through a hard trial, even going through an infirmity right now, we have no reason to complain because God has been so good to us. So good. And these people, these Israelites, questioned God. These Israelites were so bitter towards God that they asked God a question. They asked a question. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? This same God that fed them, man, the same God that delivered them from the Israelite, I mean, from the Egyptians, that delivered them out the Red Sea, they asked the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And we all know the questions that God can furnish a table in the wilderness. And how do we know that? Because of what God has done in the past. Because of God's power. Because of who God is. And Asaph comes to this place in the time of his life where he's feeling this infirmity, he's going through all these things, but he remembers the works of the Lord. He remembers how God delivered Israel. In chapter number 78, in verse number 32, the Bible says, for all this they sinned, speaking of the children of Israel, and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Then it says, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Verse number 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. How oft did they prove him in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert. Yet they turned back, and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. And Asaph, his heart is simply this. God, while I was complaining to you, God, when I was questioning you, I'm so thankful that your mercy, that I'm so thankful that your grace came in such a way that you did not destroy me for complaining. You did not destroy me for calling out to you. You did not destroy me for questioning you. And aren't you thankful that every single time when we have this ailment, we have this thing, we ask God, why? God, what are you doing? We question God. He responds in grace. He responds in mercy. And we're only here because of God's grace and God's mercy. And I would say this tonight, that whatever you're facing, your infirmity, whatever it is tonight, whatever trouble you're going through, hey, it's better than being in hell right now. So much better. I'd rather go through a ton of infirmities than spend one moment in hell. And we're only here because of God's grace and God's mercy. Verse number 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. And many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. And I'm so thankful that I have a God that's not only powerful, that's not only mighty enough to destroy my enemies, but so merciful, so kind enough to forgive my iniquity. I'm so thankful for that. So thankful for that. Verse number 20 of Psalm 77. He says, thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And my mind immediately went to Psalm 23. And I'll read it really quick. Psalm 23. How God is not only that powerful, terrible God that's able to destroy his enemies, that's able to give us the victory, but he is also that loving and kind shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Asaph comes to that realization that God is the good shepherd. And just as God led the children of Israel like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, God is able to lead us every single day. Amen. Verse number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is everything that we need. God is everything that we want. And if we focus on Him and focus on what He has for us, that circumstance, that trial, whatever we're facing, just seems so small compared to what He is, compared to who He is. And I love this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So God is not only everything that I want, but He blesses me beyond measure. He's so good to me. He's so loving. He's so caring. He's so special. And I think about this every single day. How many people, the 7+ billion people in this world, and God cares for us personally like we're the only ones in this world. He leads us like that loving, kind shepherd, like we're the only sheep in that pasture. And then verse number four, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I'm facing all these tough situations, these tough trials, God, you're always there to deliver me. You're always there to comfort me. Verse number five, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when we face hard times, when we face trials, when we face difficulties, just simply remember the goodness and the greatness of our God. Allow yourself to go back to the ways that Asaph explained here tonight. God's way is in the sanctuary. God's way is in that holy place. That's the difference maker. That's the change of focus when we meet God in His sanctuary. And secondly tonight, thy way is in the sea. God's way, God's power reveals unto us that no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, He has the power to deliver us. And how do we know that? Because the same God that allows the sea to move, the same God that allowed the sea to wipe up the Egyptians as they were pursuing, the same God that parted the Red Sea, that has that power, that holds the sea in His hands, is the same God that has the power to deliver us. And lastly tonight, simply meditate on the works of God. Meditate on them. I mean, if you think about everything that God did in your life, how God delivered you time and time again, and you just meditate on that and just think about how good God is. And if God could deliver you back then, He's the same God that could deliver you right now and in the future. And I know I said it lastly, but another thing, talk of His doings. Tell other people about what God's doing. Be a living, breathing testimony. Say, hey, this is what God did for me. And many of you guys know the story of last week and how God showed up in our life. And it was truly amazing. And, you know, really quick, I won't go into everything. I already shared it. But just the peace that God gave in my heart. Like, hey, I'm going to take care of everything. Hey, I gave you those rings. If you lost them forever, hey, I'll give you some more. And honestly, God, he just showed Himself mighty. And I just began to say, hey, God, you know what? You show Yourself mighty in so many ways before. You know, some rings are nothing to You. God, You're so powerful. God, You're so mighty. I'm not going to allow myself to be burdened down. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. God, You have everything in Your control. So that's where our mindset has to be. That's where our focus has to be. When we face infirmities, when we face trials, when we face difficulties. And the question I ask at the end of it all is simply, how well do you know Him? I mean, do you know Him like Asaph knew Him? I mean, do you know that He's there to deliver you no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through? Do you know that though your sins are red, though you be red as crimson, He shall make them white as snow? He shall forgive everything that we've done because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only is He there to deliver us from the infirmities, but He's there to deliver us from death, from sin, from hell, because of His great power, because of His great works. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for being the great God. And Lord, thinking about your power, thinking about your might, Lord, it truly overwhelms me. And God, I thank you that we can look in this book and we can remember what you did for the Israelites. We can remember what you did for Jacob, for Isaac, for Joseph, for Paul. And we can claim the promises and we can realize, Lord, that you can do the same things for us. And Lord, I pray that if someone is here dealing with infirmity, dealing with a trial in their life, I pray, Lord, that their focus would simply be on you. That they would see your goodness, that they would see your greatness, that they would see your awesomeness. And Lord, I thank you so much for giving us the greatest gift and delivering us from the greatest enemy, the grave. And Lord, we're so grateful that we get to spend an eternity with you. Thank you for being so good, so loving, so caring. Thank you for being a great shepherd. And Lord, we love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.